We appreciate parents. I believe this is an important thing in life. And I'd just like to make a few comments, if you may. I want to be turning, first of all, to Mark chapter 9. And I love this. You saw them that sung the song, Jesus Loved the Little Children of the World. And what an absolute truth that is, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus proved when he was here on this earth, even in his middle of his ministry, he proved that he loved children. Even times when people try to keep children away from Christ, he rebuked the disciples, he rebuked others, and used children as an example of what he was doing in this particular life. So let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the night. It's a precious time. I believe children are an offspring that God gives from God through procreation to families as he made the arrangement for one, two people to come together and cleave to each other. In fact, a husband cleaved to his wife, and in turn, God produced the most wonderful thing to have children. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we also know that you said in the beginning, the first child born, male child, was yours. But Lord, we also know that all children are gifts of God. And we thank you for that. And Lord, that is when we have children, we certainly ought to be so thankful that we want to give and dedicate them back to you. And somehow or another, set the example that they may see not only that we love you, but our lives show that. And in turn, they can remember as they get older to do things for their family that they may have seen and heard in church and also in their own home. So now tonight, we pray you'd bless this time and give us the wisdom that's needed to understand, all of us here, what it means to be a mother or a dad. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now in Mark chapter 9, in verse 33 down to verse 37, watch what we read. Here the disciples had been disputing about themselves, who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And an interesting thing, they really believed that God was going to set up his kingdom. They really believed they were going to have a part in that, but they didn't know what the position was. And isn't it amazing how selfish people can be? They were disputing of who would be the greatest in that kingdom. And here we see verse 33, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourself by the way? He didn't ask because he didn't know, because already other places he tell that he perceived it, but he asked them to get a response. And they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down, and he called the 12, and he said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and serve it at all. Now that's not the way the world looks at it. If a man desires to be first, let him be last and the servant of all. Most people, you know as I do, look at people who gain things in this life, a lot of times have been the ones who put in positions. Those who have the ability to do things, whether it be in government or where it be in business or where it be they can maybe put a name somewhere or another or something in the sense of a financial means or something. A lot of times society elevates those people, and maybe nothing wrong to do that as far as society to show respect to people who achieve things. But with Jesus Christ, it won't that way. He said, even Jesus who was God in the flesh said, I come to be a servant. And he said he took a child next, and he set him in the midst of them, and watch what happened. And he said, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, can't you just see that? Now, you'll find out there's times when the children came and the disciples rebuked the parents and said, but the master doesn't have time right now. But he always took time for children. And so he took, I don't know how many was here, but he took one, I know, if not maybe two, in his arms. And as he took them into his arms, he said this, whatsoever or whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Now, can't you see what he's saying? The fact is, he's setting forth, he's fixing to make arrangement for the human race to become children of God. And therefore, this little child that they can see with their physical eyes, talking about putting that person where he should be, he that receives one of these little children, he said, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And God was setting for a picture. It's coming a time when my children, God's children, will be in the world's ambassador for Christ. And those who receive God's children receive Christ. And those who receive, that is, if Christ has been the ambassador of Christ, because they're going to have the message of Christ, they receive Christ and those who receive Christ, he said, receives his Father. Verse 42, he said, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. Now notice that believe in me. I believe that goes far beyond just earthly children. Little children, if you tell them about God, they'll say they're believing in the Lord. And the odds are, a few weeks later, they may come back again and not really understand it and talk about it again. People ask me all the time, or not sometimes, well, if you had a little child, how many times if you lead them to the Lord and they trust the Lord and then they come back a month later and they don't really know what's going on, you try to do it again. How many times you do it till they understand what happened. It's too important to play with and say, well, I don't know whether they understand or not. When God gives a child the ability to start asking questions about what he's heard about Jesus Christ, that's the time to start laying the foundation to give them the gospel. He said, whosoever shall offend one of the little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea. Now, I believe that also is setting forth for God's children who are ambassadors who try to go and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. Those people who slam the door and crush you and tell you to leave their yard and don't do things like that, what they're doing is trying to offend the one that God has sent as an ambassador. And when that happened, he said, it's not good for them. That's what this millstone around his neck, it's not good for them to do that unless they later trust Christ as their personal Savior. Now look over in chapter 10 with me, a couple of verses, and then just a few words more. Chapter 10, verse 13, notice he said, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Boy, what an indictment. You don't walk before God with pride and receive Christ. What does a little child do? Just as humble as can be. They listen. They obey. They may rebel later in some things, but then again, most of the time a child understands the authority of a parent. If they have to be punished, if it's done in a loving way, they understand. Sometimes a child can just see the parent's look. Amen? Sometimes you don't even have to use a bell. You might have to use something once in a while to get their attention, but once you get their attention one time, all you have to do is look. And if you look and don't have a smile on your face, they know there's something different. Amen? A little child is moved by a lot of things when it comes to something that someone says that's wrong. And so he goes on and he says, and he took them up in his arm. Now watch, he took them, more than one here, his arms, and put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Isn't it amazing? The itinerary that Jesus had was so busy, and yet even the disciples felt like all that Jesus was doing for little children to come, who they didn't think could understand anything about what was going on. And yet parents probably brought them, and he'd take them up in his arms, and he blessed them. Why is that? He has an opportunity to teach that everyone who comes into the family of God comes as a little child, or they do not come into the family of God. We don't come in boasting. We don't come in by what we have done and our deeds and so forth. We come in throwing ourselves on the mercy of God's court and know that Jesus Christ is the answer for all. So in this dedication, we think about light. It's very clear in the gospel that Jesus loved little children. That song we sung tonight, Jesus loved the little children of the world, children of the world. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Is there anything sweeter? Is there anything you know of sweeter in this life than a little child to a parent, to a grandparent, or to a great-grandparent? I don't think there is. I think they get your attention. I guarantee you, I don't care where you're at. If a woman is pulling in arms or someone pushing a stroller or whatever it is, and you can see that baby, most people have a heart to look at. Now, we might say that's a beautiful baby. Oh, boy, they sure have a hard time, but I don't know. But I'm saying there's something that draws us to look at a little child, and our hearts are blessed when we see that. I was reading back, and you never know what the potential would be. And this only helps some of us. It sure helps me. I read recently, we do not know everything, but it doesn't mean we can't be something if we allow God to use it. Now, I heard God will use all these people, but I read where Napoleon was number 42 in his class in school. Number 42. I wonder who the other 41 were. I wonder where they were at. I also read that where Sir Isaac Newton was next to the lowest in his class, he failed geometry for not doing the problems according to the book. These are men that we read about, and if you didn't know these things, because someone told us, you'd think, man, they must have been geniuses in the back. James Watt was the butt of jokes by his schoolmates. Thomas Edison, according to one record, was sent home from school one day by a teacher stating he was stupid to learn, too stupid to learn. Boy, did he make a fool out of people. One writer said that what impressed me most about America, and of course this is a little bit of slang, and you can understand this, he said, what impressed me most about America is the way parents obey their children. Also, one man said before I got married, I had 6 theories about raising children. Now that I'm married, I have 6 children and no theories at all. Every parent here understands that. When we talk about children, I read another place where a mother took a first grader son to a parent school PTA meeting and heard her son talking to a classmate to her next to her, and she said he didn't introduce her, and this was in his lower grades, and his mother said after, he said, well, son, what is your classmate's name? And he said, well, it's Johnny. And she said, but Johnny who? He said, Mother, the only thing I know is that the teacher calls him Johnny Sit Down. We've been there before, too. But what I want to look at just a few minutes is this. There are a lot of things about children today that's a blessing. And the Lord said, have your quivers full of them, even though that's changed today. Years ago, they did that more so than today. But they're a blessing to families. Just 2 points I want to look at. First of all, the disciples noticed dispute brought about this situation here. And I said before, in the world, opinions about people, you find great men are generally conquerors of some kind, like we said Napoleon, or great philosophers of some kind who come up with some general ideas and write books and so forth, or maybe wealthy of some kind. But this world sees no greatness in lowliness. And that's one of the reasons why, if you can get people to doubt who Christ is as the Son of God, they don't see nothing that really looks good about him. In fact, Isaiah said there's no beauty about him whatsoever. When you see him, by what he says, and he's always seemed like he's going to be against something that we'd be doing in the flesh that pleases the flesh, because he's out to satisfy the soul, not the flesh. And so he's always telling us truth that disciplines from within. Each disciple just wanted to be above the rest at this time. He takes a little child to show what it meant to have humbleness. Each felt that he had that quality to be first. Each one of them felt that they were a little better than the other one as they looked at the 12. And of course, Jesus kindly speaks the truth to them in love. He's teaching them, don't be deceived by the world's definition of greatness. While you have ambitions and desires, also learn what goodness is. That goodness, God says, is greatness. And goodness is not that we are good in the flesh so to be saved, but the things that we do for good deeds of others. So Christ uses the dispute to teach a lesson about life. And he recommends the grace of humility for us as human beings. It goes a long way. Now, you see that in God's family. In Mark 10, in verse 31, it interests me because it says, when Jesus had just finished talking, warning about riches, when you said message a week ago, I'll just not go into that, but verse 31, he said, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, this is what he's letting us see as far as individuals. Isn't it amazing? If I'd get saved at 76 year old, I'd have to come as a child. All the knowledge I may have that's gained from the world has nothing to do about me being a child of God unless that knowledge comes from the scripture in the sense to show me who Jesus Christ is. And so Jesus, number 2, uses a child for his lesson in life to these disciples. A simple thing. And what better time when they rebuked them for taking them to him. A child, why is that? What is a child like? I went back to some characteristics. You take a little child. A child is unconscious of himself. Self-analysis is unknown to a child. He's not trying to self-inspect himself. He's just doing what he does. going with the flow, so to speak, but have enough humbleness to know there's authority over them if someone said something is wrong. A child always lives in the present. They don't live in the future. They don't live in the past. Just where they're at right now, what they're doing, occupied with, is what really, it doesn't matter where they're at, that's all they're concerned about. And if there's something going on that time they like it, enjoy it, take it away from them, they'll throw a tangent. And I'm always thinking about, they learn fast in our day. I guess it's because of the computer. And I'll never get over that person that was telling the little fellow, he wanted to get something at one of the stores, Walmart or somewhere or another, and he couldn't bend over four-year-old walking behind, and they said no three or four times, so they just completely ignored him. And he, a little fellow walking behind him, and he talked like maybe a 10 or 12-year-old, or maybe an adult. And you heard me say, he was saying, but listen, fellas, listen, you guys, give me a chance to talk. Let me tell you why I want that toy. It's not some grown-up talking to argue with his parents. Well, they know how to handle us, don't they? Don't they? Sometimes we have to deal in a way that we don't like to. A child always lives in the present. He never worries about the future. Did you know for a child, the sufficiency of the day is all that he cares for? Isn't that what Jesus tells us? Take no thought of tomorrow, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Isn't it amazing? By why? No wonder God uses a little child. So this is the mentality. It don't mean we have to be, you know, knowledgeable in anything, but it means that sometimes when we act, he wants us to act. That action would show who we are before him when we serve him this side of eternity. That little child's always wanting, but he's never discontented in an ungrateful way. He wants everything. You go to the store with him, put him down. And he'll want this and want that. It's interesting to go to the grocery store and hear someone walking behind mother and dad and tell them, I want this. They don't even know what it is, but they see it. Sometimes they just look at the package. He says, I want this. Why, the package looked good. That's the way children are. They are always like that. He always wanting, but never discontent in an ungrateful way. His pleasures are pure and natural and fresh when they're received. Even the least gift has value in his eyes. How many times you heard somebody say, I give my child a gift, wrapped it up in pretty paper, and he wrote out the paper and the gift. He has no value whatsoever. He just with gratitude. His gratitude, he gets something, don't take it away from him. Because his gratitude will turn real fast like. He'll become greedy. Right? Right? You know, a lot of things happen on playgrounds among children because one children had something, another took it away from him. So we understand that. But they don't carry grudges of any kind. He goes on, he said, we find his dread in life are real, but they're small. His obedience is not reluctant to, but his faithful. His obedience is not just reluctant not to be obeyed, but they understand quickly when they obey, things happen. When they disobey, things also happen. His heart responds to the parent's touch. There's not a mother in here can take a child and soothe her or soothe him. And by the way, he can do a teenager as good as they can do a teenager. And there's not a parent in here, dad, that can't soothe a child when they're hurting. I bet you remember a time. I remember a time I had whooping cough. I was 5 years old. Had whooping cough bad. Back those days, you went to the doctor one time and you lived it out. And I'd start coughing. I'd get out in the yard, and try to play a little bit, and I'd start coughing. I'd get coughing so bad I couldn't get my breath, and I got to crying. And I'd run towards the house crying for my mother. And she'd hear me, and of course, mother, you know, you don't, listen, mothers move fast when they hear a cry that's panicked with a child. It was the other day just talking in the hospital, no mother, there's not a mother alive to see their child begin to hurt and go through things that they have to go through sometime, wouldn't rather be in their place. And I'd get there, and when I'd come to get to the back porch, I remember coming to the back porch and start up the steps, my mother would be down the steps, and she'd grab hold of me and pull me up close and say, Charlie, that's all right, son, I know what you got. And all of a sudden, I just began to feel so good. And she said, you okay? And I'd say, yes, and I'd get back out again. And whooping cough, man, you don't know when it's going to go. Sometimes you do a lot. And I'd be doing something else. All of a sudden, I'd start again. I'd cough and cough, and I'd start crying, running toward it. I remember Jesse's good 5 years old. He said, you think back that? I think about that better than I can yesterday. Amen. What I'm saying, a mother's touch is a precious thing for a little child. You know why? God's touch to you and I is a precious thing for his children. And I run back again. I did that about three or four times. And I remember the last time when I when the last times I went to her, and Mother brought me up to her stomach like that, and she said, Charlie, I told you everything's going to be all right. She said, rub my head a little bit. I turned around and I said this. We'll never forget. I said, Mother, I don't know why. Every time I start coughing, I run to you. When I get here, I quit. Isn't that what happens? They know how to soothe us. They know, and that's what God is telling us himself. What a great responsibility we have given to us to be trusted by God to raise children. What a sad thing some children abuse today. And I'll tell you that. There's going to be some people who are going to suffer greatly because they abuse little children who had no power against them whatsoever. None whatsoever. And they're going to stand before God one day and get an account of that. In Mark chapter 9, again in verse 36, we find that he talked to the apostles that he took that child and sat in the midst of them and told them what to do. In verse 42 also, he said it's better for them the millstone but hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And then we see, and he talks about in 13 and through 15, he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. And then he tells us, but as many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And I said this afternoon as I was studying, going over my notes. Jesus loves children. Why? For of such is the kingdom of God, he said in Mark 10 in verse 14. He loves children because he said, for such is the kingdom of God.